Amen. Thank you, Blakely. Well, we're going to get to the heart of what we've been singing about this morning. Who is this who came at Bethlehem? Who is Jesus born in Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth? And why did he come? What are some reasons? Well, the passage Blakely just gave us gives us some clues to that. And we're going to look at those more closely. But let's go to Lord in prayer before we get started. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the gift of your word, which is your revelation, your self-revelation to us of your great redemptive work and who you are and what you call us to. Help us to receive this. The pastor of a church in California tells the story of putting up a sign in front of his church during Advent season, and this is what it read: Jesus is the reason for the season, Merry Christmas. And of course, we're used to statements like that. We say that ourselves. But a woman in the community was offended by that, and she called him to talk to him about this. And she closed the conversation by saying, I don't think the church should try to drag religion into every holiday. Now, it seems to me that the very opposite happens most often. And that is, we tend to drag holiday into religion. And we don't begrudge that. I don't begrudge the holiday spirit. I'm so thankful for that, actually, this time of year when we have some warmth in the nation. But as his sign, a holiday is really a holy day. That's where the word came from. Holiday is a holy day. And this is a holy day and reminds us when we think of Christmas what Christ has come to do. Now, another thing I was reading recently is a Pew Research study found that a vast majority of Americans, you know, celebrate Christmas. Over 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas, and that's not surprising. But they've also noticed over the years that fewer and fewer people who celebrate Christmas hold to the biblical historical events. That is the question, or their statement is that there's a declining number of people who said they believe the biblical story of Christmas accurately reflected historical events. But what I want to submit today, and I think the writer of Hebrews is submitting, it is these historical events that are at the heart of Christianity. Is it a philosophical system that is here today and will be gone tomorrow? Is it modernism? Is it postmodernism? Are there any other philosophical structures we can name? No. The foundational element of our Christian faith is God's self-revelation in Scripture. And of course, most gloriously, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. But he is attested to in Scripture. Christ comes clothed in the Gospels. And we hold to this historical, or we can put it this way, we hold to this redemptive history. That is God's story in history. Creation, the fall, God's redemptive history, and recreation. And we're in the midst of that story even now. So Christmas reminds us, it compels us in turning Christianity into only a holiday spirit. Now, it is that. I'm thankful for that. But it is so much more than a holiday spirit. It is Christ himself. Christ himself is what matters most, the person. You cannot think of Christianity without thinking of Christ. Not just goodwill, not just slogans or warm feelings or singing a few carols. It is that, but it's much more. It is veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. And we believe that Christmas is a crucial action of God in the redemptive story. God himself has visited and redeemed his people. Something God himself has done, something only God could do in coming. We dare not lose contact with the historical record or we make a fatal error. And the writer of Hebrews is emphasizing that very thing and what he came to do. And the Hebrew Christians obviously were struggling. They were struggling with this. They had received some insufficient teachings on the person of Christ. And this letter is about bringing them back in line with Jesus Christ, the person, and the reason for his coming. And so we come face to face with Christ here in this passage, as well as other passages that reflect on Christmas, but especially here in some reasons that he came. So I'm going to give you some scriptures and a few quotes as we look at the reason he came. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "The central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. They say that God became man. Christianity proclaims God's invasion, an invasion which intends complete conquest and occupation. The central event in history, the very thing that the whole story has been about." And we've come to recognize that because history itself has been divided by this birth. We have history BC, and we have history AD in the year of our Lord. This historical event that we can call the Christ event, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension on high. What is this? What is this gospel? What is this good news that Christmas speaks of? This Christ event, which is the central event in the history of the earth. Well, here, in answering that question, we get to the real meaning of incarnation. Now, what do we mean by incarnation? What are we talking about? We're talking about God becoming flesh. Let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 2, look again at verses 14 and 15. "Because God's children, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death." Now here is the progression here. Because we're flesh and blood, he had to become flesh and blood. And he had to become flesh and blood to die for our sins. And he had to die for our sins to break the back of the devil and to release us from the fear of death. Now these are just a few we're going to look at more closely. But notice again these words, flesh and blood. That just stands for human nature. We're all flesh and blood. We share this common human existence. Now, of course, we're different in many ways. We're different in personalities, ethnicities, background, gifts, abilities, and so forth. But we all share this common flesh and blood, or human nature. And Christ has come to take part in that flesh and blood, or to take part into communion or fellowship. It also means to be made a partner in something, to partake in. And then the other one is meteko. Is that right, Robert? Robert said that's right on target. It means to become a partner. It's in the aorist tense, reflecting Christ had come in time and space. At a particular point, he came to partake of our humanity. The first word is used for us. We are made flesh and blood, and then he partakes of the same at a particular time and place in Bethlehem. So there's a similarity, of course. He's come in flesh and blood, but there's also a difference. He came of his own volition. He came of his own free will. He came simply stating this incredible thing that Christ pre-existed his birth. As the Son of God dwelling with the Father and the Spirit through from eternity to eternity, then he partook of flesh and blood. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As the great Oswald Chambers wrote, "Jesus Christ was born into this world, not from it. He did not evolve out of history. He came into history from the outside. He is not man becoming God, but God incarnate. God coming into human flesh, coming into it from the outside. His life is the highest and the holiest, entering in at the lowliest door." And that's what we find in Bethlehem. That is the incarnation of Christmas. So, the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ takes part in our human existence as a deliberate action. He comes to us. And we should never tire of hearing these great words from the mighty Apostle Paul when he writes in Philippians chapter 2, speaking of Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. That's it. That's Christmas. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The divine Son of God added to himself a human nature, flesh and blood, and divine. He truly took on human nature. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as a phantom or just an appearance of humanity. As we find in Hebrews 2:16, for surely it is not angels that he helps. No, he helps the offspring of Abraham. That is, he is the fulfillment of the promise of God to Abraham, to the Hebrews, and to the entire world. The Messiah is coming. He will be born flesh and blood. Now, we know that he derived his human nature from Mary, born of a woman. But he's similar in that sense, but he's different in that he did not have a natural generation as you and I have. As we find in Luke chapter 1, an operation of the Holy Spirit. Mary said to the angel, therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. No pollution in his nature. No sinful nature as you and I were born with. And this is an operation of the Holy Spirit. So what does all this mean? Well, Christ has come. He is, as the scriptures tell us, he has, though in the form of God, he has become a servant, born in the likeness of men, knowing weakness, hunger, thirst, disappointment, pain, etc. He knows that. But why did he do this? Well, the writer of Hebrews, back to our passage in Hebrews 2, gives us several reasons that he came. Let me highlight just a few. The first one is this. It was essential. He took on flesh and blood because it was essential to be a Savior. He had to do this to be the Savior. In Hebrews 2, verse 10, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, them into their salvation. The only way to lead us into salvation, to bring children into the kingdom of God, Christ had to come, take on our nature, die on a cross to deliver our nature from sins and death, from sin and death. God himself has to do this in the person of Christ. Humanity is incapable of saving itself. Only God can do this. So Christ must be God to be the author or the perfect leader of salvation. And he must be man. That is, he must be man to save man, to be our representative, God and man. So when we think of Christmas, salvation itself is at stake in how we understand Christmas. This is a great illustration from C.S. Lewis about him coming in flesh and blood to save. Listen to this. Water into black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay, then up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks surface again, holding in his hand the dripping precious thing that he went down to recover. Why did Christ come down, take on flesh and blood, come into this lowly world, as C.S. Lewis writes, even into regions of ooze and slime and old decay? Why did he do that? To bring something back up. And what he has brought back up, dripping but precious, is humanity. He has come to save humanity. And he had to come. And he had to come low and dive in deep to bring up this precious jewel. A second reason, so that he might die. so that he might. Because the wages of sin is death. And to pay the price, he had to die. He must die to save us, and he must become human to die. A third reason. Why did he take on flesh and blood? So that he might destroy the devil and death. He conquered death by dying. Again, verses 14 and 15. For only as a human being, hear it again, only as a human being could he die. And only by dying for our sins could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. And only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Note the progression here. Only in this way. He ultimately is a bondage breaker and a liberator, but he had to come and he had to die to liberate. We're ever mindful in this human leech unexpectedly dying. The Mississippi State president, Mark Keenum, said this, "Mike's death underscores the fragility and uncertainty of our lives." Exactly. The fragility and uncertainty of our lives. And then he goes on, 3 weeks ago, Mike and I were together in the locker room celebrating a hard-fought victory in Oxford. But today, and he's right to mark this. Maybe we can identify with the comedian's statement, "It's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." But Hebrews proclaims a bondage breaker in this passage. He took on flesh and blood to kill death. And through his eternal life, death dies. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The heart that Christ has killed death. And the hope that comes in the hearts of his people. Reverend Glenn Martin died this past week. And his funeral service was yesterday. Glenn Martin served in the Mississippi Conference as a preacher for over 40 years, and he pastored this church. He pastored Trinity from 1980 to 1985, and he came at a very particular time of need in the life of this church and was very important to where Trinity is today. And we stand on Brother Glenn's shoulders as well as those who were with him at that time. But his funeral was like a coronation service, a celebration that he had gone home. How do you have that assurance? How can you do something like that? Well, it's passages like this that remind us that Christ came in flesh and blood to do something and to give us an everlasting hope. He came, he took on flesh and blood so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, someone that you may need right now. He's come for that end. Look again, verses 17 and 18. It's the last passage to look at for us. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. In other words, he knows all about it. He identifies with humanity in this way. He is a sympathetic high priest. He knows about trials and temptations and troubles. He experienced what we experience. So we go to someone who knows as a faithful high priest. We do not have a holy and high priest that we can go to. And one final reason he took on flesh and blood is that so that he might give us a new nature. So that he might give us a new nature. The Holy Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sinful sons and daughters of man might become the holy sons and daughters of God. Let me say that again. Are you listening this time? Listen to this. The Holy Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sinful sons and daughters of man might become the holy sons and daughters of God. Put another way, he was born in Bethlehem that we might be born again and have a new nature. Oswald Chambers, again, puts it this way. personal human life to become a Bethlehem for the Son of God, for him to come into my life, come into my heart. I cannot enter into the realm of the kingdom of God unless I am born from above by a birth totally unlike natural birth. Immediately Christ is formed in me, his nature begins to work through me. Of course, only the creator of creation can recreate it and make something new of the old. Why did he come? Or to put it in the language of our passage in Hebrews, why did he take on flesh and blood? Why did he partner with us in flesh and blood? So that he might be a savior. It was essential. So that he might die. So that he might destroy death. So that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to those who walk with him. So that he might give us a... That's the question for us. That's the question of faith. And immediately Christ is formed in me. His nature begins to work in me and through me. The Son also took on flesh, became flesh and blood for these reasons. Let's pray. Loving and holy God, we thank you for your love for us, which is seen in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came and partnered with us in this world, the Word becoming flesh, that we might know God. Lord, may our hearts be open to His work today. Our hearts open even to a new birth that comes through faith in Him. May we respond in faith, and may our high priest